One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he.
The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore.
Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one bringing, my Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
Thank you, Trio. That was beautiful. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Starting today a mini-series that I've entitled The Basic Truths for Bible Believers. And we're going to take some subjects such as, how can I know that I'm saved? What is temptation and sin? What is the church? Its people, its purpose, its practices. The what, why, when, and how of prayer and giving and spiritual accountability dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. This will just be a mini-series that we'll go through with some of these topics there. And I could ask the question, and I do ask you the question this morning, what do you believe about these topics? We say, what should we believe about these topics? Or more importantly, why do you believe it? There are many people who have formulated beliefs, and I have that in quotations there, beliefs about these topics, but often their beliefs are nothing more than personal opinions. And their opinions are based on several things. It may be a popular belief that in their eyes there are many Christians that believe this, therefore I believe it's true. Or it may be through hearsay, and they would testify, I have heard my pastor say this on many occasions, and while I hope that the things that I say would be the truth, your believing of these facts about these topics should not be based upon my saying, but should be based upon the truth of God's Word. It is not my opinion that's important, nor yours. It's not the opinion of a group of people, but it's God's opinion that He gives us in His Word that is the most important thing. And so we must nail down our beliefs, if you will, into the solid Word of God. That is where our belief, and this is what we believe and why we believe it, is that God said it, not somebody else, or not even our opinion about it. Jesus identified the truth that He wants us to understand when He said in John 17:17, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy Word is truth. And so it's the Word of God that we hold up and that we understand and acknowledge that it is the truth of God. There's one truth because there's one God, and that truth is found in the Word of God that He has preserved for us. So it's important for us to understand that. This morning, I'm going to give an introductory message that I've entitled, What You Don't Know Can Hurt You. What You Don't Know Can Hurt You. Father, I pray that as we look into the message this morning, that You would allow the things that You have laid upon my heart to be able to be expressed very clearly. I ask, Lord, for Your Spirit's power to guide me in the things that I say, that through Your Word, that we may not only explore and learn what that truth is, but Father, I pray that in light of that truth, that we would be affected in the way that we live this next week. Lord, help us to leave out of here better equipped to please You in every area of our lives. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to divide this message, What You Don't Know Can Hurt You, into four parts there. We must prize the truth. We must purchase the truth. We must practice the truth. And we must preserve the truth. In this first one here that we'll look at, we must prize the truth there. The word prize there indicates to us something good to be awarded or to be gained. And therefore, it's talking about there the value that we place upon it. Something to be valued greatly. And the truth is something that each one of us should put a high value upon, especially of God's truth, since it's the only real truth that is there. This truth that is to be valued, and the fact that we should value it, emphasizes truth's preeminence. Now, by preeminence, we mean first eminence, the first and most important thing that is there. The importance of the knowledge of God's Word. Here in Psalm 19, in verses 7 through 9 there, he uses several phrases that describes the Word of God. I won't read it all, but just point out these. In verse 7 there, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. In verse 8, the statutes of the Lord and the commandment of the Lord. In verse 9, toward the end there, the judgments of the Lord. All of these are pointing to, in a words that describe, the Word of God that has been given to, unto us. And in verse 10, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. In other words, the psalmist there is describing and testifying that to him that the Word of God is more precious to him, more valuable to him than gold, not just any gold, but much fine gold. In other words, a lot of money he would be talking about. So God's Word is more important to me than a lot of money. It is sweeter unto me than the honeycomb. In other words, if you can think of the best tasting sweet dessert of the moment in your mind. I don't want to get you too hungry here, but if you could think about that and how much more that would be good, then God's Word ought to be that kind of good to us. We ought to miss it so much when we don't have it. We ought to desire for it so greatly as God has preserved it for us. It should be valued. It should emphasize, and we should emphasize, the preeminence of the Word of God, its importance in our lives. Also, in Psalm 119, in verse 72, it says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold." And over into verse 162, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil, great treasure." And certainly God's word ought to be that to us. It emphasizes its importance there. Rob this morning taught in Sunday school there, and one of the things that had popped out to me, and he was not emphasizing this part of it, but in Romans 6 and 7 there that he was in chapter 7 there for a little while, I noticed some things that because of my message this morning that just jumped off the page. Do you know that seven times in Romans 6 and 7, you'll find the phrases knowing, or if you know this, or we know this, or I know this. Seven times he emphasizes the fact that we know, at least we should know, God's Word, because God has given to us, made it available for us to have. I hope every one of you out there this morning have your copy of the Word of God. That is what it's all about. Not just on Sunday, but that's what it's about tomorrow on Monday. That's what it's about Tuesday. And so it is important for us to value the Word of God as it is seen there. Not only does it emphasize truth's preeminence, but it emphasizes truth's priority. What is a priority? Anything that is important, the important place that something has in relation to our lives. What is the importance, the priority of God's Word when it comes to your life? Would other people that know you close testify that the Word of God is very important to you by the way that you handle it and the way that you speak of it and how that you use it? For many busy Christians today, our time with God and the Word of God is put on a back burner. There are so many other things that are pressing, from job responsibilities to home responsibilities to children responsibilities. There's sports, there's education, there's it should be education and then sports, right? And then there's music, et cetera, there, that lessons that have to be done. There's running here and there. You see so many stickers on cars and so forth about, "I'm soccer mom, I'm this mom, you know, I'm a taxi mom. All I do is run my kids back and forth to this, that, and the other." It's a constant go, go, go in this world. And I'm certainly aware of that. And every one of us would consider ourselves busy, at least to a certain degree. And yet, we all have things that are in our life that is voluntarily chosen to include. It may be watching a sports game on TV. It may be getting on social media and checking out, whether it's something that you're actually commenting on or whether you're just looking over what other people have done. It can be a lot of different things that we include in our life. The question is, where does the Word of God come into play? Have we got time for other things, but we don't have time for it? And so the important thing is that we must make it a priority in our life. I read a book here just recently that Steve Rogers is Adrian Rogers' son. Adrian Rogers, great Baptist preacher there. Robbie testified to him in his own life there of what he's learned. But Steve Rogers was telling a story in the book there about how that he loved to body surf at the ocean. And growing up around some of the Florida beaches there, he would love to get out there and just ride that wave all the way into the shore. And he had an opportunity to go to Hawaii. And one of the things he thought as he had the opportunity to be there is, "I want to hit the beach out there. I've heard so much about those waves out there in Hawaii." And so sure enough, he got out there and he got to the beach and he took off out there, got out in the ocean. It was great. The waves were coming. And he thought, "Boy, this is going to be great. I'm going to catch one of these big ones. I'm going to ride all the way to shore." And here it came, the one he wanted. And so he got himself ready, he made that kick, and he started out like that, but instead of taking him to shore, it body slammed him right on the floor of the ocean. He said his whole body became tingly, numb, and almost knocked the breath out of him. But as he gathered himself and he made it back to shore there, realized there was nothing broken, he got up onto solid ground there, and in front of him was a large sign. And on the large sign it said, "No body surfing. Serious spinal injury may occur." Now the point is, there was the truth. And it was right in front of him to be had. But when he went to the beach, he really wasn't looking for truth that day. He was there for other purposes. Well, could I say to you, as believers, it is possible for us to come into God's house holding under our arms God's truth and sit under the teaching of that truth in Sunday school and in the morning worship service and leave out of here and not have seen in bold writing the truth of God that He wants us to get, because we were not looking for truth as we came. We may have had other things on our minds, somebody that we hadn't seen in a while that we want to talk to, or somebody that something happened, we've got to make sure that we let them know what's going on, or maybe we're here for other reasons there. Maybe it's because, you know, it's church, you know, Sunday, I need to be there, or, you know, my spouse is going to say, "Hey, why didn't you go with us?" You know, whatever the case may be. But did you come really looking for the truth? Or was the truth presented and it just right over your head? It's important for us to not just be present, but that we concentrate to learn what the truth is that God wants us to have, to make it a priority in our life. What you don't know can hurt you. That's so true when it comes to spiritual things. We must prize the truth. Number two, we must purchase the truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth, sell it not." Salvation is free. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He made it available to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord that can be saved. And that anyone, without having to pay, you don't have to give money, you don't have to do anything, but just believe that He died there for you and your sin problem there, and that He died to forgive you of that sin and to extend to you the gift of eternal life, and all you must do is by faith receive that gift. It's free of charge. That's free. That's the starting point. But after that, it's not free when it comes to following the Lord. That'll cost you something. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is expensive. What will it cost you to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower of Him? Well, it's going to cost you your precious time. As we said a while ago, we're busy people. And so it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you discipline. You're going to have to discipline yourself. One of the hard things in our life that we have to experience is that of self-discipline. We certainly do that. And then there's obedience. That's the responsibility to the truth that we gain. To whom much is given, much is required, Jesus said. And as we receive then the truth of God's Word, there's a responsibility to be obedient unto those things that we know, we have learned. And so it is important for us to realize there is a cost involved. But let me tell you, friend, if you put forth the cost, the effort, the discipline, the obedience, it is worth every penny. It's worth everything you sacrifice for it. It will be so great. Turn with me, please, to Luke 9. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 23, Jesus here speaking, and He says, "He said unto them all." I underline the word "all" there because that is a very important word to understand. Do you know what the word "all" means? All. you're supposed to be with me here. Come on. Every one of us as believers is included with this. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ if we have trusted the Lord as our Savior there. Verse 23, He said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There are five things here to that cost that I want you to see real quick. Number one, there must be a desire. If any man will, he says. It's a matter of our will. We have got to desire to be a follower of the truth of God's Word. If you don't have a desire for it, you'll never do it. Because it is a fact that as human beings, we only include in our life the things that we want. People do what they want to do. And the things that are important to you, you will make sure that they are priority in your life. So there first must be a desire to have the Word of God, if any man will. There must be a decision, come after me, he says there, that is pursuing this. You've got not only to have a desire, but you must make a decision to follow the Lord as a learner. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And many times as if we think about what that means, we may think about salvation. I've decided to follow the Lord. I've trusted Him as my Savior. But again, as I said a while ago, that's just the starting point. From that day on, then we are to be a learner, a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes by making a decision that we're going to follow Him. It doesn't just happen accidentally. Thirdly, desire, decision, then comes denial. Let him deny himself. You know, one of the greatest struggles that we have in the human life is self-denial. Denying of our own flesh. My flesh talks to me every day that I live. And my flesh tells me certain things that it wants. And I have to be honest with you, I don't always have victory over that. I at least sin once or twice. Lord knows, an hour, a day. But there is a constant struggle with our flesh. And if we're going to make any headway in our following of the Lord, we have got to deny ourself. We have got to be able to discipline ourselves. And some people, even those who think that they're the most disciplined people in the world, just haven't looked at certain aspects of their life and seen the failures that are there. We all need to be disciplined when it comes to our flesh, to deny our flesh. Let him deny himself. And then fourthly, dedication. Take up his cross daily. The word cross there indicates to us death. We know the Lord Jesus Christ died there on the cross. And when you see there talking about take up his cross, it's talking about are you willing to die? Now, some people say, I'm willing to die for God, Lord. But you know, I'd say out of the 100 and so people that are here today, that God has not called you to die for him physically. But he's called every one of us to live for him spiritually and physically in this world. But that takes dying to ourselves, kind of like what the denial part. We have got to take up our cross. We have got to die. And it says daily there. Rob said this morning about Paul. Paul made the statement, Paul the Apostle, that he said, I die daily. And the Apostle Paul meant that when he's saying that every day he gets up and he recognized, if I do not tell my flesh, I'm dead to your desires today. My flesh is going to have the victory. And so every day we must make a choice and say, I am not going to follow my flesh today. I'm going to follow the Lord. And so that's a decision you make today. And as I said earlier, it's a decision you make tomorrow, Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday. You make the same choice when you get up, that today I am going to die to myself. And I'm going to live for the Lord. Because when we don't on a daily basis, then the living sacrifice syndrome kicks in. You know what that is, right? Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice there unto the Lord. And what have I taught you is the problem with the living sacrifice? It keeps crawling off of the altar. A dead sacrifice, it doesn't move. But a living sacrifice, we get on the altar there, we submit ourselves unto the Lord, we want to decide to follow the Lord here today. But by tomorrow, this body wants to crawl off of that altar. This body wants its own way again. And so it is a decision that we make there to die unto ourselves there, to dedicate ourselves on a daily basis unto the Lord. A living sacrifice every day. And then there's determination and follow me. Are you determined to purchase the truth? Whatever the cost, that I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to get in His Word, I'm going to learn His truth, I'm going to submit to what He shows me. That's what God wants of us. It's going to cost us. We must purchase the truth. Thirdly, we must practice the truth. I think this is one that's greatly should be understood. In James, if you want to flip over there to James 1, James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, there's a great passage here that deals with this being a doer of the Word and not just a hearer of it. In verse 22 of James 1, he says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Notice the last few words right there, that when we come into church, into God's house, and we hear it taught and preached, or when we pick up God's Word on a daily basis and we read it there, if we walk away and don't do what it says, we are deceiving ourselves. We've been to church. I can't reach it. Pat me on the back here. I was there. Checked my name off for the attendance list. By the way, is there an app out today that you can take your smartphone and that you can sync the pictorial directory right to your phone so that you can take a picture of the crowd that's out there and through facial recognition, it'll tell you who all's here and who's missing? I don't think so, but wouldn't that be something? But just checking off our name and say, "I'm here," doesn't mean a lot unless we've let the Word of God that's been presented get into us and make a difference in our life. And so there's a purpose that God has for every one of us to be here. And we need to be coming, not just saying, "Hey, I'm at the beach, I'm going out body surfing," and forget about the truth that's there. But we need to be looking, "Lord, what do You have for me? What is the truth that You're going to present to me?" And we're trying to concentrate to learn that because it will make a difference in our lives. We need to practice the truth there. It goes on to say, "If any man be a hearer of the word," verse 23, "and not a doer, he's like a man beholding himself in a glass in a mirror." And he says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway or immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was." That's ridiculous. You look at yourself in the mirror, and you say, "Well, I got some chocolate icing there on my lips and so forth." And, yeah, I see it there. And walk away, and you don't ever do anything about it. You wouldn't do that, I hope. Neither should we look into the mirror of God's Word and God show us something about ourselves and say, "Yeah, I see that," and then walk out the door and not do anything about it. But, verse 25, "Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty." There's two things right there in that phrase. The word "looketh" there means to stoop down to get a close look at. The perfect law of liberty is the Word of God. Whoever looks intently and deeply into the Word of God there, he being not, it says there, and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. There's one that's deceived, and there's one that's blessed. And the difference is, one hears with an understanding that he wants to do what he hears. The other hears and walks away and does nothing about it. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 7, where he tells the parable there of the wise man that built his house upon the rock. Who is the wise man that built his house upon a rock? You know, we know the story there. We know what the truth. We know that you've got to have a solid foundation in your life. You know that in physical world you've got to have a good foundation, or the building is not going to stand well. We know that if it doesn't have a good foundation, when the storms come, it's going to fall. We know all of those things, but what was the point? What was Jesus trying to make the point about? He says, the wise man that built his house upon a rock, he that heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to the wise man that built his house upon the rock. It's the hearing of the Word of God and doing it that makes you the wise man with a strong foundation that can stand the storms of time. That is what we need in our lives there. We need to practice the truth. We need to do the things in which He tells us. John 13:17, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy or blessed are you if you do them. And that is the point there. It's the doing of, the practicing of the truth that's emphasized. And then the last thing that we see, that we are to preserve the truth. Again, in Proverbs 23:23, He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't let it go. There's some things I preached right there at the beginning of the year. Let it go. There's some things we need to let go, but there are some things we don't need to let go. And here's one of the great ones there. Don't let the truth of God's Word go. Don't give up. Give out. Let God do a work in you that changes you, and then you let that work, that Word that has changed you, get into the lives of others there as well. We need to preserve the truth. To preserve it, we must do more than just keep it in our minds. There are three things very quickly I want you to see. Number one, we must protect it. That is, we ought to stand up for the truth. You know that the truth of God's Word is under attack today. The world around us despises the truth of this Word. You can be a Christian, you can be a Hindu, you can be anything as long as you don't stand for anything. But when you start standing for this truth, they're going to throw stones. When you start to stand on this truth, they don't want to hear about it. And it's this truth that is under attack today. What do you do about it? Well, where you are in your world, when it's being talked about in a negative way there, that's your opportunity to stand up and say, I disagree, and defend the truth of God's Word. You may not understand every precept that is found here in His Word, but you know and should trust this to the point that you can say, I know that God has written it, that God has preserved it, and that God's truth is there in it, every word. And therefore, we can trust it. It is our authority. We need to stand for the truth. You may say, Pastor, I don't think they would appreciate what I've got to say. No, but your Savior will. We are to defend the truth there. We are to protect it. Secondly, we must proclaim the truth. Spread the gospel of the truth there. It is important for us to understand that for us to have the opportunity to speak, we have first got to have a life living before other people. You know, one of the greatest opportunities and ways to evangelize people today are to evangelize people that you have personal contact with that know you. That today is the greatest outlet of evangelism in America. And to do that, you've got to be living before them, as Rob was saying this morning in Sunday school, in such a way that they look at you and say, hey, I like what I'm seeing there. I'd like to know more. But for them to know more, you've got to do more than just live it before them. You actually have to open your mouth and speak it. Because faith comes by hearing, specifically the Word of God. And so, how can they believe on Him? How can they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher, a proclaimer? We must be a proclaimer of the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, not only protect it and proclaim it, we must pass it on. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul the apostle told this young man, Timothy, this young pastor, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, Paul says, hey, Timothy, I am teaching you. I want you to turn around. Once you've learned this, I want you to go and find somebody else. I want you to teach them and teach them how to go and find somebody else and teach them, etc. so that they are passing on the truth of God's Word to others. Now that works within our framework this way. First of all, those of you parents, you have a responsibility to pass on the truth of God's words and God's works to those of your children. Your children should be learning the truth of God's Word. You should make sure they know how to understand God's Word and to obey it more than changing a flat tire or changing the oil in a car or doing anything of physical nature such as that. Those things are important, yeah, but don't neglect the priority. Let that be something that you pass down, that your children know that you're interested in showing them. I think it's Psalm 78. It speaks of dads, fathers, going and rehearsing the words of God and the works of God with their children so that they in turn could speak to the next generation and to the next generation so it could be passed along. We have that responsibility to pass on God's truth to our kids, grandparents, to our grandkids. We not only have physical children, but that we have spiritual children. Some of you teaching classes. Whether you're teaching children, whether you're teaching adults, they are your spiritual children. And you have the opportunity to handle the Word of God, the truth, and to impart it into their lives. And you have no idea how it affects them. You don't know what God is going to do with that in the future. Last week, I got a phone call out of the blue. And a young person in our church that grew up that's not here these days, some years now, probably in the 30s, called me and said, "Pastor Randy, I just wanted you to know that all of the years in growing up there to church and the rebellion that I had in my heart, etc., that God has gotten a hold of my heart. He's changed my life, and I'm now trying to serve Him." He said, "I want to thank you and Miss Vicki for the things that you taught me, for the prayers that you had, for the counsel that you gave. And I didn't want to listen at the time, but it stuck with me more than you know." And he really appreciated that. Do you know that some of you Sunday school teachers out there had this kid in your class? He remembers. And we need to understand that God can do a great work and the truth of His Word to be imparted. Don't give up as teaching in a class. Don't give up when it comes to individual Christians and believers that are growing in the Lord, that have started as new believers, etc. We need to be willing to come alongside and to help and to encourage that one so that they can grow to the point that they can come to church and they can feed themselves. They can be at their home and read their Bibles and feed themselves and grow. But just like any infant, once they get born into this world, they need help at first. And so I encourage you to look for those that you can come alongside and be an encouragement to disciple, to help in their spiritual walk. We must prize the truth, purchase the truth. We must practice it and we must preserve it. Jesus said in John 18, verse 37, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." He had already identified in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." It is the truth of God's word that Jesus came to give unto us and make sure that we had. And that truth, as He gives it and as we have seen it, should get into our life and change us. We've got to let the Word of God get into us. And the only way the Word of God will ever get into you is if you get into the Word of God. You've got to let that Word make a difference. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The sanctification verse that I've given you many times, even Rob mentioned this morning, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. In that passage there, it says, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass," that's the mirror of God's Word there, "what do we behold? It's the glory of the Lord." We see the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory. "We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, one stage to the next, even by the Spirit of God." It's been said that when the child of God reads the Word of God, and sees the Son of God. He is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. And it's all done when we get into the Word of God, His truth, and submit ourselves unto that, that God can make that change in our lives. I encourage you to get into the Word of God today, tomorrow. Submit to what it says, because what you don't know can and will hurt you. Every head bow, please. The invitation that we're going to sing here is just going to be brief. But I wanted to take the time and have you take the time, if you would be able to respond and just say, Pastor, and more importantly, Lord, to speak to your Lord, that you admit that there are some things that He's working on you. And it may be this area of spending time in His Word that you know is lacking. If that's the case, are you willing to surrender to that today and say, Lord, I need your help every day. I need your Word every day. And I want to be your man every day. I want to be your woman. I want to be the teen that I should be, the young person that I should be. Will you commit to that this morning? Every hand that has that heart, could I see your hand, please? Thank you. You can put it back down. Father, I pray right now that that would be true and honest of the heart that we have for you. Because, Lord, not only have we heard, but I pray that each one of us believe that being in your Word can and will make a difference. Lord, help your Word to get into our lives as we get into your Word. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.